All right, guys, here we go. So one of the things that gets often very helpful is when you encounter actually a shita that's different than yours. Because until you encounter that shita, you don't realize that yours needs explanation. You're so used to it. And you encounter another shita, you realize, whoa, I really need to explain mine. So you have a good example. I think we're pretty Ashkenazi heavy this year in yeshiva, not so much Sephardic blood. So we're used to the idea that what happens on Seder night, we make Bar Pirag Ofen four times. Okay, we all know that, right? Four cups of wine, of course, they're four Bar Pirag Ofens. Probably, I mean, in my life, it never occurred to me to question this practice, right? That's what I grew up with, and that's what we do. Then I'm learning one day, and I discover that what do many Sephardim do? The Bittur, DBT, how'd you know that?
Just on
the night. Oh, did Rav Bill give share on this?
Yeah.
The whole, what?
No,
okay, great. Okay, so the Sephardim, just curious, guys, does anyone in the room do this? Only make a bracha on? Which koso would that be? Number one and number three. Okay, they only make a bracha on one and three. Okay, in fact, let's look at it inside for 1 second. Let's go to Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so what does Rav Yosef Karo say in source one? Shota kosheni, I drink the second cup and say tonight, the ein mevarech alav, no bracha. Lo bracha rishona, velo bracha achrona. She'ein mevarech and breper gafen, kimal koshel kiddif, so koshel beken mazan. Vein mevarech and ala gafen, kimach koshri. Okay, so that's the Sephardi custom, just kosot, one and three. Wait, DBT, you can't leave. Oh, okay, I was going to say, there's going to be a shortage of Hawaiian shirts and Israeli fanaticism. Okay, okay. Okay. Okay, here we go. 0-2 there. Okay. Okay, Haga. So says the Rambam. V'aminog ben Ashkenazim. Oh, what do we do in these lands of Poland and Germany and France? Levarech bracha rishona al kol kos v'kos. Avol bracha chroni v'bracha achron levad. So I was very happy the first time I saw this, because all of a sudden it occurred to me, wait, guys, who do you think... Okay, let's try to be as honest as possible. No bias based on community background. Who seems to be a more logical position here? Sephardim. Because normally, why would you make... Oh, I see you got some Sephardi pride in the back there. Okay, why would you make a new bracha normally? Because there's been some kind of hefsek. Well, guys, what happens between the first cup of wine and the second cup of wine? A lot of magid, but okay, talking doesn't seem like such a strong hefsek. Okay, what happens between... Why does Sephardim agree that you should make a bracha on Kos 3? Well, you bench. After you bench, you have to make a bracha. It's like when we, in yeshiva, like if you make Birkat Hamazon and a cup of wine, you do say Birkat Hamazon at the end. What about number 4? What would the Sephardim say? Well, understand. I just made it. There's a lot of things going on between 1 and 2. There's even less going on between 3 and 4. Why in the world should I make a new Birkat Hamazon? Okay, so now that we have finally encountered this machlokas, we should go back and try to figure out what exactly is the rationale behind the Ashkenazi custom. Why would Ashkenazim make Pirkat Hamazon, make Bar Pirag Ofen four times? And do we have another example where the Sephardim are right once again? They've already beaten us twice. They are obviously right that even in Chutz Laretz we should say Birkat Kohanim every day, not just on Yom Tov. And they're obviously right that... you don't have to be married to wear a talus gadol. There's no reason for that whatsoever. Will we now have to admit they're right once again? Yeah. Right? Or can we justify the four brachot Ashkenazim make? Avishai?
I'm just saying they're right about
Kitzinyo also. Oh, that's it? You've given... about what?
They're right about
Kitzinyo. Oh, there you go. Okay. I should have known somebody would say that too. Okay, are they right also about saying slichot for a month?
You might be able to read that.
Okay. All right. All right, Avi, do you want to say something? Okay, pretty good? Okay, did anyone want to try to justify the Ashkenazi position? Yeah, Rafael.
Just a quick question. It seems to me like following the benching for the Pirag Ofen, we need to do a new one, like a new bracha for the fourth one.
Well, no, but you already made a Bar Pirag Ofen on the third one.
Right.
Now, let's try the following case, guys. Let's say the last out Shabbos yeshiva. Let's say Jonathan Posner gets the bench because it'll be last Shabbos, right? So he benches at lunch. He makes a Bar Pirag Ofen. Okay, we're good? Okay, now, who should we pick? No, Dan Belge. Okay, nice shirt, Dan. Dan says, I have a great red wine you have to taste, Jonathan. And he pours him a cup. Would Jonathan have to make a new Bar Pirag Ofen? No, he just made one. He has not said a bracha achron yet. All right, so that's essentially what's going on in cups 3 and 4. Yeah, Yoni.
Just a quick question.
Okay, so Yoni's onto something. We're going to have to forget how we define things like hefsek and hesachadat. So Yoni's giving us one clear way to go here. What would be one clear way to go? To say that the Ashkenazim assume there's some kind of break. There is some kind of halachic interruption. Because of that halachic interruption, you have to make a new break per gafen. I just want to point out, though, just think about when you say hesachadat, let's apply it to our case, guys. Let's say David Benter and I are enjoying a nice lunch one day. Okay, and we're discussing, the Israeli army. Okay, even if we're not thinking about the cup of drink in front of us, after 20 minutes, would we have to make a new bracha? No. Right? Meaning, not every conversation is by definition a hefsek, a hesachadat. So you still have to work out the argument, what is it about? Okay, guys, if you want to go the hefsek route, you'll have to work out what happens between cup 1 and 2, and what happens between cup 3 and 4 that constitutes a halachic hefsek. Okay, why is that different than he and I discussed in Cleveland Browns? Right, you have to work that out.
I guess you could also say that, on the other way, is that, like, there's some restrictions that you have to have room for afikomen, so maybe you weren't sabata enough to bench each time. It's like towards the starting, but...
Yeah, how would that help the Ashkenazim?
No.
Okay, yeah, you know it.
Can push become more complicated, like, if somebody actually got up for, like, let's say, spend, like,
okay, so Noah's right. You might want to compare this to other... He's right. Let's put in a larger context of hefsek questions. Okay, even leaving a meal for a little bit. This comes down during davening, right? You're in the middle of lunch, let's say, and there's mincha gedola. So you want to run to mincha, but you're still in the middle of lunch. How does that play out? Right, so we're going to see that. We're going to compare it to other kinds of hefsek scenarios. Yes,
H.
Okay, good. So you're on the right track. We're going to try to analyze in a second how we define hefsek in halacha. Yeah. Okay, let's do this for 1 second, guys, actually. Thank you, Josh Shapiro. Very good. Okay, guys, let's just remember one interesting thing about Pesach night. All of the kosot are not just kosot, they're attached to a mitzvah. Okay, let's go through all four, and this will help you, in your mind, remember where they all are. What is the first mitzvah? Kos 1 is attached to? Kiddush. Excellent. Kos 2 is attached to? Magid. Right, now Magid is obviously the longest section, but the second kos, we're saying, I didn't give you a proof, guys, we only drink the second kos at the end. But when do we pour it? Before, right? What are we basically saying? This is the kos of Magid. Okay, so the second kos is associated with Magid. The third kos is Birkat HaMazon. And that's classic, right? We pour it before benching and make the bread per gafen after benching. And the fourth kos is associated with Hallel. Excellent, guys. Excellent. Okay, so Josh, it works out. So it makes sense. The Sephardim are going to say, of course you make a bracha on kos 3. You benched. When you bench, you make a bracha. But there's no reason in the world to make a bracha on kos 2 and 4. Wait, Joshua, before you answer the question, why do the holes make four burpee guffins?
They
want to
get in their own
bracha.
What?
I think that's just how we learned it.
That's
how school went, like.
Okay. Oh, man.
There's
Ashkenazim quashing the minority culture again. Okay, Josh, what's your question?
Could we have a similar question when it comes to kapas and
maror? Oh, that was excellent. Okay, Joshua was excellent. Okay, notice that when it comes to Marar, we do not make a Brei Pi Adama. We only make Asher Kitchano Al-Achilat Marar. Now, it's interesting, guys, because some Haggadah say this, some Haggadah do not say this. What might it say in your Haggadah? At Karpas, have in mind that you want the Brei Pi Adama to carry over, very good, Josh, to Marar. Now, clearly, if I say that, it's going to be hard to argue that Magid is Hefsek. So things got even more troubling now for the Ashkenazim. Excellent point, Josh. Okay, we're going to try to answer your point shortly. Okay, but Josh is right. Any Haggadah that says, have in mind in Karpas, that it's covering Marar, is clearly assuming that Magid is not a Hefsek. Yeah, Avishai. Okay, that's also a good question. Okay, does that happen in the Moskowitz family?
It has?
Okay, good question. Yeah. Yeah, say it again. I'm sorry, I got distracted for a second. Oh, very good. So I think David Bentor is on to something. I was kind of hinting at this. I thought one of you would get there shortly. This will be the end of Shir. Maybe the answer to Ashkenazi tradition is not to work through Hefsek. that maybe we could justify the Brit Pregafen in some other rubric and not because of F6. I think we've set up this year very well. Okay, guys, what do we have here? We understand the Sephardi position perfectly. The Sephardim say there's no reason why your first bracha can't cover the second cup. There's no reason why your third bracha can't cover the fourth cup. Now, according to David Bento, he's right. Ashkenazim can say one of two things. Ashkenazim could either say, oh, you're wrong about the rules of Hefsek. There has been a Hefsek here. Or Ashkenazim could say, Sephardim, you're totally right about the rules of Hefsek. But maybe this is a different kind of Brei Pregafen. The Brei Pregafen is playing a different role here. And that's why we're making four of them. Excellent. So we're going to see that as we go along here. Just one quick thing. I want to answer the Josh Hall question. If everyone could go to the end of Source 7. Okay. We're going to, just because Joshua brought it up early. Okay, everyone see the Im Tomar, four lines from the end? Okay, now he asked exactly Josh's question. Who is this? The Ran, right? Yes, here's the Ran in Pesachim. Says the Ran. V'im Tomar, v'lama enum v'rech al hamarar burpi adama. Why don't you make a burpi adama in the mar? Shabli shabirach metibu rishon, hari hifsik bein tayim, ha'alava, bracha shesidra al kosheni. V'yu ekonomi den v'rech hamar lach homar, v'lama burpi adama klas. He asked exactly your question, Joshua. Okay, how you doing there, Eitan? Okay. Tell Rav Judy he's not serious. Okay, so... Okay, guys, is that Rav Judy and Rav David? They're just in charge of Bittul Torah for the yeshiva. Okay, so... What's the question, guys? If you're going to tell me it's a hefsek, you Ashkenazim, how do you justify not make a Brit Daman? Guys, now don't read ahead, actually. Can anyone answer the question without reading ahead? How do you justify not making a Brit Daman on the Marar without having to claim this hefsek? Yoni Zerman, way to go. Let's keep reading. Yesh lomar she'enu nifter b'kach brei p'adam shebich b'tchila ela birkat ha-motzi potroto. I have a much simpler answer, says the Ran. Don't forget, motzi matzahs before maror. So why is it different than 1,000 dinners during the year? Right, after I made a bracha on lechem, I can include my vegetable dish as part of the meal. So I know, guys, it's true that many of your Haggadahs say, have in mind at the Karpas. Just realize it's not obvious that's really what's going on here. We now have two possible reasons why we don't say Brei Pedam on the Mar. Maybe you don't say Brei Pedam on the Mar because the Karpas covers it. Maybe you say Brei Pedam on the Mar because the Matzah covers it. So, Josh, well, so we can get out of your Hefsek problem. The Ron is a good approach. Yeah, Joey.
What's the holiday that we would say?
Excellent. So here's where things get really tricky, guys. These are some of the most tricky halachot to realize. But I have to admit, guys, a lot of you are like this also. I grew up in a world where kind of we assume that hamotzi just covers everything. Okay, and maybe many of you grew up in this world also. Right, and then you learn the halacha and you realize it's a bit more complicated. That it's not obvious that hamotzi covers dessert. It's not obvious hamotzi covers the grapefruit in the beginning of the meal. Right, do you guys ever get to this, these questions? So again, I admit it's not the world I grew up in. We somehow had hamotzi as this magic thing that covers everything. But there might be more complicated definitions of what's really part of the meal, what's really not part of the meal. So maybe, according to some of those definitions, moror is not really part of the meal, and therefore the hamotzi wouldn't cover it, and then you would need the hadama from karpas to cover it. So you really have to analyze those questions. What is part of the meal, what's not part of the meal? Okay, yeah, Avishai. Avishai, you're on fire today. What happened?
I don't know.
Okay, great. Okay, good. Right, thanks a lot. The first interesting topic I picked all year. Yeah, I'm just kidding, Avishai. Yeah, go ahead.
Very
interesting. Okay, so Avishai, it's a very clever point. It's it is interesting, even the structural decision. Right, there was a choice to place Mora after Matzah. Very good. Okay, anybody else so far? Okay, so let's try to start with the first root, not the David Bentor root, the Hefsek root. Let's see if we can come up with some rules of Hefsek. Okay, so please look at the Gemara in Chula in the second Gemara, second source. Okay, here we go. Now, some of you may know there's a mitzvah, very interesting mitzvah called Kisui Hadam. When I shecht a oaf or a chaya, I meant to cover the blood with dirt. Okay, a mitzvah called Kisui Hadam. So let's now look at the third line. This is the Gemara there in Chulin. Amrav Chanina, Moder Yudalinyan Bracha, She'enu Mavarech Ela Bracha Achat. So even though I'm shechting many animals and I have to do Kisui Hadam for all of them, how many bracha do I make? Just one. So what's the assumption? A Shochet is doing 17 acts of Shechita. It's all one continuum. all one bracha. Great. Amri Ravina Vacha Bei Deravacha. Amri Vacha Bei Deravacha Rashi. Wait, I question that. My Shnami Talmidei Derav. Why is it different than Talmidim of Rav? What happened with them? Derav Brunner Okanal Talmidei Derav have a Yatve Besudata. So two of Rav's students are sitting at a meal. Kayalai Rav Yeba Saba. Amrule, they say to Rav Yeba Saba, Hav Livarech. Let us bench. Now, this probably happens to you at home a lot, right, guys? Someone says time to bench, and then someone else starts a really good conversation. And then you don't bench for another half an hour. So what happened after they said, let's bench? Hadr Amrule, Hav Lishtei. I guess the conversation continued. And what did they say at that point?
Let's drink.
Right now, we got a little thirsty here, and it's a good conversation. Amrule Rav Yeba Saba, Hachim Rav, Kivin de Amr Hav Livarech, once we've decided to bench, Itzir Lei Lemishtei Chamra. What's happened? We've closed the meal. And at that point, you can't drink more. Now, let's make the jump. So he says, that shows that when we say, let's bench, we've closed the meal, you would need a new bracha to drink more. Hachanami given to Itfili L'chsuye, if we've done Kisi Adam, Ichayv Leila Bracha. So what's the claim? After I shek the first animal, Kisi Adam should be the functional equivalent of benching. Right, benching ends the meal, and I need a new bracha. So why don't we say that Kisi Adam ends the Shkita process and I need a new bracha. I haven't got the question? We're good? Okay, so the Gemara says, now this says this is a crucial line for the world of Hefsek. Hachi Hashta, is that a good comparison? Hatam, over there, Mishta Bruche Bahati Hadadi Lo Efshar. What does that mean, guys? Mishta Bruche Bahati Hadadi Lo Efshar? I can't simultaneously drink and bench. So there's something about drinking and benching that conflicts with each other. Hacha, Efshar Deshachit Bechada, Umechasi Bechada. If I'm a multi-talented fellow, what could I do? I could be shechting an animal with my right hand and doing Kisui Adam with my left hand. So now things get really interesting. How literally should we take this Gemara? What does it sound like? What would be a hefsek? If A and B can't be done simultaneously, it's a hefsek. If A and B can be done simultaneously, it's not a hefsek. But let's think for a second, guys. How would you interpret what it means that they can't be done simultaneously? What are the two possibilities?
Literally or halachically.
Very good. Exactly. Is it a physical issue, like how talented you are? Can you juggle seven balls at once? Or is it a halachic problem? Because Yoni's right. It might be easier to think about hefsek in halachic terms. If I hit a point where I'm not allowed to do A, that would mean that I've stopped A. If I have a point where just it's physically difficult to do A, then everyone with me in some point, the two ways to read this Gemara? Okay, so from Chulin we've derived that one definition of Hefsek might be a lack of simultaneity. If I can't do A and B together, I've stopped endeavor A. We're trying to figure out what does it mean that I can't do A and B together. Joey Gedalia.
Well, in the case of the drinking, does that cover both
Halachic? Right, but which one is the key, though?
Which one
do
you find?
Exactly. Let's think about Magid for a second, guys. Wouldn't Magid be a great test case? Because if I'm just thinking physically, what could one argue? Guess what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say it is physically impossible to recite Dayenu while drinking wine. That just will not work, right? And therefore, Dayenu is a great hefsek. Or I could say, okay, that's physically impossible, but there's nothing about the recital of Dayenu that makes it usher to take a drink. So at that point, it wouldn't be hefsek. So, Joey, it's really crucial which we focus on, right? Okay? Yeah, Aaron Levitt.
But if you're going to say it's the physical limitation, any conversation is physically limited.
Okay, I agree. It is very difficult to say it's just the physical conversation. We'll try to justify it, but it's very difficult. Okay, it's difficult to argue that. You're right, because Aaron's right. You can't say, every time I say a sentence, I have to make a new bracha. Obviously, that's not true. So you'd have to, even in the physical, you'd have to limit it somehow. Yeah? Okay, good question. We'll have to work that out. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Josh Milstein.
Couldn't you say, even if you were to be in the love crowd, that you could, if you said Shomei Kavona, then you could say that you could be Mechaim Kavona at one time?
If I say Shomei Kavona,
someone else could be saying it, and you're listening to what you're
talking about. Or if it's C-Core and you use a device.
Oh, that's interesting. Let me think about that. Okay, now we need one more Gemara before we get into the further conversation about how Hefsek plays out. So let's look at one more Gemara. Some of you know this already from Machshavah Shir. Because this is the Gemara about Zugot. Remember that Chazal thought it was dangerous to do things in pairs of even numbers? Okay, here we go. In fact, I'm going to tell you a Hasidic story, which I don't know if you'll find funny, but I find it funny, so I'm going to tell you anyway. Okay, according to, I heard this from also, just the same person I heard the Purim Kiddush from, I heard this from him also, Rabbi Yom Tabori. So he said that they once asked the original Rebbe, they said, you can't halachically eat blintzes, it just doesn't work. So the Rebbe said, why? Why can't you eat blintzes? They said, well, there's a problem no matter what, because if you eat one, it's not enough to be full. If you eat two, it's a problem of zugos. And if you eat three, it's a chilagasa, so you just can't eat blintzes. So the original Rebbe thought for a while and said, eat one very big one. Okay, there we go. Okay, so let's see now the Gemara in Pesachim. Okay. Below you v'klum arba. So it says you can't have less than 4 cups of wine. Wait, Zach Klinger, you missed a good joke. Did you hear it?
No.
Oh, man, okay. See, guys, don't get distracted at the wrong moment. Hechi mitakni rabban amidi dati beilidei sakana. How could the rabbis be mitaking something that makes, it's dangerous, it's an even number. Three answers. V'atanya lochdom trei lishta trei l'kanach trei l'sa tzvachu trei. Amar v'nachman amar kra, l'el shimurim l'el mishum v'bam namazikin. What's the claim? It's true that even numbers are dangerous, but not on Pesach night. Pesach night's a specially secure time. L'el shimurim, you're good to go. Next. Rava mar koshel bracha mitztarif l'tova v'leinu mitztarif l'ra. No, since it's a koshel bracha, we're not nervous. So either we're not nervous because of l'el shimurim or because koshel bracha. Here we go. Ravina mar arba kasi tekin rabban derech chirut kol chad v'chad mitzvah ba'afei nafshayu. Ravina has the most interesting answer. What does Ravina claim? No, it's 4 separate mitzvot. So in a sense, I'm not doing an even number of 4 on Pesach night. I am 4 times doing a 1. So it's 4 odd numbers and not an even number. So that's intriguing in terms of Zugot. But maybe we should move away from the world of demons and get to the world of halakha. Is Ravina making a halakhic point here of interest? That I should view them as 4 separate mitzvahs and not as 1 mitzvah? So in fact, I'm going a little out of order for 1 second. So if everyone goes down to source 9, I know I'm really out of order today. They look at the Merome Sadeh, remember guys, that's the Netziv's Perish on Shas. Look at the third line. He says there's real halakhic import here. Look at the Netziv. V'nafkamina im ein lo ela. That's a great question, right? Let's say I see, and I really, it's a bad year for wine. It's very hard to get kosher wine. I have enough wine for 3 cups. So what's the obvious question now, guys? If I say it's all 1 mitzvah, what emerges? It's totally worthless, right? 3 cups, 3 out of 4 is like a 0. No, it'd be like arbaminim without an esrog. If you don't have the esrog, it's not that you're yotze 75%. You're not yotze at all. But now that Ravina has said, kol chav chad mitzvah ba'afei nafshei, what would I now conclude? No, if I drink 3 of the 4, I have fulfilled 3 out of 4 mitzvot. So again, this is not just a way of getting out of Zugot. This has halakhic import, this idea. Yeah, Joey?
So somehow we have to convert a gafen into a regular mitzvah instead of a regular mitzvah.
Ah, you got it. Okay, so you guys got the chiddush, what DBT wanted to say before. I would like to argue that even though normally there's a key barometer to test if something's a berakah mitzvah, normally, what is the obvious giveaway that something's a berakah mitzvah? Yeah, it's pretty no-brainer, right? The formulation is asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav etzivanu. That seems to be the standard fare for berakah mitzvah. I would like to argue that Seder night is an exception, and that when we're making Brei Pir Gafen, it is more a berakah hamvegajoy. It is more a berakah hamitzvah than a berakah hanenin. And once that's true, we can totally divorce it from the question of what's the big advantage now? We no longer have to analyze what constitutes a hefsek, right? Even if it shouldn't constitute a hefsek, we're in great shape. So now, guys, we're going to get back to hefsek, but really that was the chiddush I wanted to push towards. That maybe it's a mistake to go down the hefsek path, and maybe the Sephardim are right, that it really shouldn't constitute a hefsek. But at the same time, we could still justify the 4th bracha. And by the way, it'll also help Josh Hall's point. If Magid is not really a hefsek, it works out well that the bracha for karpas could cover the Brei Pir Adama for Mars. We're showing that inside for 1 second, guys, if you don't mind. Joey, you know, it was very good. See, guys, wait. Notice you and David Bentor said the Chiddush. Apparently wearing Hawaiian shirts helps you in Shir Kolei.
Or the Tiani.
What?
Or the Tiani.
Well, that doesn't really work with Joey, right? Okay. Let's see the Yom Shlomo guys in source 8. What? Okay, forget it, Jeremy. You're right. Okay, yeah, I'm so Shlomo. Look at source 8. This is Shlomo Luria, when I'm very prepared on Shas. One of the main Masechtos you wrote is Baba Kama. So I hope a lot of you have maybe encountered the Amshul Shlomo in your morning learning. But he also wrote on Chulin. So look what he says, guys. It's really Joey Gedalia's idea. V'harya ha'gada ain't a siluk bracha v'hesach adara mashachal v'shata. What's he very adamant about? Magid is simply not. There's nothing hesach. There's no hesach adad. What are you talking about? We're discussing Yitzhiya Mitzrayim. Why does that mean that I've stopped my continuity of the Bereper Gafen? V'afilu haki katav shitzarech levek Bereper Gafen al kosa agada. V'imkin huwa din b'mit paleil. Ah, here Noah Maimon, he gets into the davening question. Mikoma kom kivin she'enanu mevarechim al kosa agada. M'meilu b'mit paleil b'toch sutato lo netin kavatayek liverash. Okay, we've got to aside for a second. L'fi d'vav ana anu d'kaimlan k'divei ha'rif. We follow the rif. Where's the rif paskin? U'mevarechin al kol kasa v'kasa. The rif actually is on this Ashkenazi side here. Make a bracha four times. V'chein ha'minhag b'chol medinat Ashkenaz. Im kein lo yitachein ha'midivei rasha katav hachat et tfilu lo avi hefzek. El etzarech lachzor l'vareich. V'leta. Here we go, guys. So he's still, I'm not getting into that, it's a little confusing, guys. Basically, he's in the world of hefzek, he's still trying to figure out, does it fit with other psakim about hefzek? Does it fit with how he paskin when you daven minch in the middle? And he's working that out, but now his key move. Ah, v'leta. This is all wrong. Demashin who give the varich al kol kasa v'kasa. Here is a explicit one, guys. Lav mishum hefsek v'hesach hadadu. It has nothing to do with hefsek. That is not what's going on in the Ashkenazi tradition. Dim kein havelei nam levar bracha rishonach achronach akos rishon. That's an interesting point we didn't discuss yet, guys. We didn't discuss yet how many bracha achronas we should make. Now let's think for a second, guys. And here the Sfarad and Ashkenazim are on the same team. How many bracha achronas do you make during the Seder? So you obviously do benching, and then you do al ha-gefen after the fourth course, right? That Ashkenazim and Sfarad and agree. But wait, if we really think that there's no continuity between course one and course two, maybe Ashkenazim should make a bracha achrona after the first course, right? After all, it's not going to be carried over till course two, and we don't do that. Says Rav Shlomo Luria, that's another proof that we're not really in the world of hefsek. Ah, so what's going on? El disfili de ma'achar shechacham tiknu dal kosot, the kol chavachad milta itkein, kol chada mitzvah b'fnei atzmoi, each one is its own mitzvah, umishum hachi mevarchin akulu. Now I admit, Joey, he doesn't use the exact terminology you and I used, but doesn't it sound like that's the point? Right, the bracha here is giving recognition of each kos as an independent mitzvah. So in my mind, that's a way of saying here, Bereper Gafen functions as Ibrikat HaMitzvah. Let me just sum up and I'll take comments, but I really think this is the good chiddush of the shiur here, guys. Again, you could try to justify the Ashkenazi custom through the mechanism of hefsek. And then we really have to work out what is a hefsek, what's not a hefsek. But says the Amshul Shlomo, don't go with hefsek. In fact, there's a lot of advantages to not go with hefsek. It's really because each one is a separate mitzvah. I am acknowledging each one's mitzvah status by making a separate bracha on all of the four. And I would formulate like Joey did, Bereper Pirah Guffin becomes a Birkat HaMitzvah. One second, more than Birkat HaNenin. Let's review this thing, guys. I would say there's three advantages to the Amshul Shlomo approach. Let's do a little review, guys. What's an advantage of the Amshul Shlomo over the Hefsek approach? Number one, it could solve the Mar problem. How could your Haggadah tell you that Karpas covers Mar? Answer, because Mag is actually not Hefsek. Great. What else did the Amshul Shlomo point out? Why do Ashkenazim not make a bracha chrona after Kos 1? Great, because Magid is not a Hefsek. Thirdly, I would say, what if when we analyze the rules of Hefsek, we'll come to the conclusion that Magid isn't a Hefsek? So even just qua rules of Hefsek, it might not work. So maybe the Amshul Shlomo has a super advantage over the other theory to justify the Ashkenazi position. Yeah, no, my one. Wait, no, but maybe I'm missing your question, Noah, but here's what I'm trying to say. Noah's pointing out, we don't say Hadamah on the Mar. But I would say that Mar doesn't need the Hadamah because it... it's like, why do we choose to do that as opposed to make a Shekhi Chano? Is that the question?
Why do we make a beer that's on the Mar?
Okay, so... Ah, okay. That's a good question. I would just point out one thing. You did throw in the Durabanan issue. We do make Brick and a Mitzvah on Durabanan.
No, I mean, my point was to say that someone's, like, I mean, we could say Matz is a side. Like, Matz would not be like a...
Okay, I hear Noah's question. I'm going to repeat Noah's question. You tell me if this is right, Noah. Right, you would still have to come to a funny conclusion that Chazal wanted there to be Birkat HaMitzvahs for everything we do Seder night. When it came tomorrow, how did Chazal choose to do it? Oh, we'll use the old standard formulation. Asher Kitshanu, Mitzvot HaVitzivanu. When it comes to wine, all of a sudden they said, oh, instead of the standard formulation, we're just going to use Bar Pir Gafen. That's your question, right, Noah?
Right,
so that's why they made more. Okay, so I hear. So Noah's right. Maybe, I admit, I don't have a great suggestion offhand, even though I'm still convinced of the idea. You don't want to, like, well, why did Chazal go this route? This is an unusual route for them to go. Why did they choose to, you know, hide the Birkat HaMitzvah under the formula of Bar Pir Gafen? That's a fair question. That is a fair question. Yeah, Jonathan.
So if we're going to go the root of each causes its own mitzvah, so would that mean then that Sephardim would hold that they're not?
Ah, no. What could Sephardim say, guys? That even though, that's an interesting question, Tom. That was a very interesting question. Couldn't Sephardim say that even in the world of Birkat HaMitzvot, you don't need to make the same Birkat HaMitzvah multiple times? Let me just think out loud for 1 second. It's funny because I actually have the opposite problem. Yeah, John, that is a good question, actually. Okay, can I give you just the opposite case for a second, guys? Okay, I think you guys will find this interesting, and maybe I'll give Shir Klein after Pesach. Or maybe next week, we'll see. Okay, famous machloket about Sfirat HaOmer. What's the machloket? If I miss one night, can I continue? So if you are a natural-born Lamdan, like Josh Bilstein, so you look at that machloket and you say, I can easily explain it. What does it depend on? Is Sfirat HaOmer one mitzvah to count 49 times, or is it 49 separate mitzvot, right? Isn't that the simplest explanation? If I say it's one mitzvah to count 49 times, so if I miss one, again, it's like three-quarters of the lulav, it's all over. But if it's 49 separate mitzvah, why in the world can't I make a bracha each night, right? That's what every lamdan in the history of Judaism has said. Okay, but the Prima Gadim asks a killer question. Shows up the Prima Gadim and says, wait, we make a bracha every night. How can we make a bracha every night? That means we're making 49 brachot on one mitzvah, right? Wouldn't that make much more sense if it's 49 separate mitzvah? So why doesn't the bracha kind of end the conversation? The fact that we're willing to make 49 brachot might indicate that it's 49 separate mitzvah. Okay, so Rav Soloveitchik is a very beautiful piece answering it. But it just occurred to me, Jonathan, it's kind of like, it's always interesting, it's like the opposite case. Like, you might wonder, can I make 49 brachot on 49 components of one mitzvah? And you're saying, can I make two brachot on in order to cover four mitzvah? Okay, that's a very interesting question. I have to think about it. Yeah, Al.
Rosh is the opposite. Rosh and Rambam, I guess, against the Rif. But it says, even though...
Can I just stop for 1 second? Because that's a piece of knowledge I think you should have. So I'm just going to explain to everybody if that's okay. Okay, guys, there's certain things you just need to know in life, okay, which even if it's just memorization, just certain facts you need to know. But one of the good things about being in a Beit Midrash, if you're in the right Beit Midrash, is you pick up a lot of things from osmosis. You just, like, overhear it at some point, and that's why, guys, even if you're just wasting time, you should hang out in the Beit Midrash. Some guys like to sit right here, they overhear what I say to my chavrutos, it's really great. Okay, so here's the thing everyone should know. When the Beis Yosef is trying to figure out how to paskin, Rav Yosef Cairo, he famously said, I rely on, what's the phrase though? There's a phrase you need to know, the Shlosha Amudei Hora'ah, the three pillars of Psak. Okay, that is my method. I will go with the majority of the three pillars of Psak. And his three pillars are Rif, Rambam, and Rush. Okay, now that, I don't know if you guys realize this, but that creates a bit of a bias because Rambam and Rif often have the same Shita. Okay, but that's what he says. I will follow the three pillars of Psak, the Rif, Rambam, and Rush. This is the phrase everyone should know, the Shlosh Amudei Hora. Okay, back to you, Al.
So they're saying this is different because it's
Rif. No, but here's the intriguing thing, that the Rif is on the Ashkenazi side.
Yeah.
See, Al, you guys lost out the Rif on this one. The Rif's not going to go to Sephardi Venture Camp anymore.
What? Rambam says four.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys just checked? Excellent. Wait, this is great. You guys just helped me out a lot. It was great I picked this year. I'm always curious about because, guys, if you think about it, let's think for 1 second. It's hard to believe if Yosef Caro really kept to that. Because if you really kept to that, basically, you wouldn't need Yosef Caro. Right? What would you do every time? Anybody could just do the math and paskin. So it's easier to say that's like a guiding principle, but that's not the only principle. So I'm always curious about examples where the Rav Yosef Karp does not do that. So now, very interesting. So Avi Linzer, we have a good example right here. Right? He actually goes with the Rosh and ignores the Rambam and Rif. Fascinating.
And the Rosh says...
Wow, we're going to send the Rosh to Sephardi Adventure Camp. Okay, excellent. Well, what are you quoting from?
This is the Beit Yosef quoting the Rosh.
Very interesting. Okay, I didn't put the Rosh on the sheet. We do it. We'll look at the Rif in 1 second. We'll look at the Rif. That's very interesting. Yeah, Joey. No, not at all. Guys. Hang on one second. Let's see one thing, guys. That's actually a really good question, Joey. I'm going to start adding this to my Shir Kloy, when I give this Shir Kloy in the future. Why didn't you make a Birkat Mitzvah on Karpas? Yeah, because Karpas is not a mitzvah. Guys, I hope no one will be insulted if I say this. If you skip Karpas this year, you've been Yotzi everything. I'm not suggesting you try this at home, but it's like skipping Karpas is like skipping Charoset, right? It's okay. Okay, halachic life will go on. Yeah, Joey. What? No. Okay. On Karpas, I'm not, even though I'm being radically over the Amshar Shlomo, I'm not changing anything about Karpas and Mara. Guys, what bracha to make on Karpas? What kind of bracha? A simple Birkat Hanen and a Birkat Adam. Wait, what bracha to make on Mara? A simple Birkat HaMitzvah of Asher Kitshan V'Tzivan. Why do you not make a Birkat Hanen and on Mara? We've already said two answers. Either because Karpas covers it or because Hamotzi covers it. Why didn't you make a Birkat HaMitzvah on Karpas? Because not a mitzvah. So that makes a ton of sense.
What did that got to say? Keep in mind Karpas? Keep in mind Karpas?
No. When I make the Haddam, sorry, Jeff. When I make the Haddam on Karpas, I'm thinking that this Haddamah should carry over. I'm carrying the Birkat HaNenin from Karpas tomorrow. Okay, Yoni.
Like, to add to Noah's question, like on Shabbos, when like Kiddush is a mitzvah, like Mikdash Shabbat, we first say Mikdash Shabbat, and like a Guffin doesn't cover it.
Okay, so Kiddush is a little tricky because on the one hand, actually I have a good counterexample. Ready?
My question.
How about, okay, so let's say Yoni says, it's a very interesting question, Yoni. Yoni's saying, do I have a model for this at Breit B'Gafen? And Yoni's arguing that Friday night works against me. Yoni's arguing you're a clever fellow. I'm going to say Shabbos morning works great for me. Okay, what constitutes Kiddush on Shabbos morning? A grand total of a bracha called Breit B'Gafen. So maybe Breit B'Gafen is kind of a versatile endeavor. Breit B'Gafen can cover a lot of bases. It could be your Birkat HaMitzvah on Seder night. It could be your Kiddush on Shabbos morning. So, Yoni, it was a good way to convert that to a strength for me. That works out great. Yeah, Josh.
Going back to the Prima Dunn's question on
49 Brachot, yeah.
Yeah, couldn't we say that we see by Tefillin that when you have a suffix of when something's one Brachot or two Brachot, that you do make that you don't say something Brachot Lahaka, but when it's not something in the theater, it's a suffix in Din, that when it comes to Brachot, then you would say two Brachot.
But you're assuming that it's a suffix. Right? But what if someone says, the reason why if you miss a night, you don't continue, is because I'm not a specific. I'm sure it's all one big mitzvah. Right? Here, let's take the following two sheetahs together, Josh. Let us say you hold, you make 49 brachot of the course of Sfirah Seomer, if you don't miss. But if you miss a day, you're done. So, wait, how can you hold those two things simultaneously? If I say I miss a day, I'm done, I'm assuming it's all one mitzvah. And yet I'm making 49 brachot over the course of the time. But I mean, that shita might not have a suffix. That shita might say, for sure, it's all one mitzvah. Okay, anyone else have a question? Yeah, David. DBT. I like that, by the way. We have to start going with DBT.
So, what mitzvah are you making a
bracha on? In the Shabbos morning example, or the...
No. Like
it works out great. What mitzvah you make a bracha on the Seder night? There's a mitzvah called... Arba Kosa. You wouldn't want to make a bracha on the four other mitzvot I'm associated with?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. Couldn't you just say I'm making a bracha on Arba Kosa?
No.
There's a mitzvah to drink four cups of wine. That's the one I'm making a bracha on. Arba Kosa, it's a mitzvah. Guys, do not get confused. Even though I radically claim that Karpas is not a mitzvah, Arba Kosa is a mitzvah. In fact, this actually has a lot of implications. There are people who, let's say, struggle with drinking wine for various reasons, but what do they all have to figure out how to do? Somebody to be Yotze Seder night. So obviously if it's just an alcohol issue, they could have grape juice. What's that other thing that people are allergic to? What's it called? Something with wine? What's that word called? No, it's with an S. No, isn't there something in wine that people react to? Sulfites, right? So they can't have grape juice either, am I right? Is that the problem for grape juice also? Okay. Okay, but that's why it comes up that, you know, because it's a real chiyuv. It's a chiyuv to have arba kosot. It's a real mitzvah, David. So why can't that be what you make a brach on? Yeah, is that, are you upset that I told you that?
No,
okay, yeah, there's no mitzvah of carpus at all. Okay? Yeah.
You say that the mitzvah connected to Arba Kosot is super...
No, that's an interesting question. I just don't realize until Dov made that point. Since we link all four kosot with another mitzvah, you might wonder if the bracha is also addressing the other mitzvah. That's kind of interesting. That is interesting. Okay? Yeah, last comment, and then I'll sum it up. David. Well, let's think. Ah, there's one we don't, although quite the other we might. Let's go through all the mitzvahs of the Seder. Okay, matzah. Do we make a bracha on matzah?
Yeah.
Yes. Moror.
Yeah,
yes. Arba kosot.
Yeah.
Okay. Ah, someone just said very good. There is no bracha on Magid, on Sipur. Oh, sorry, I should go one more. How about halal?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so David Bentor, really I would just convert your point into a question. It's kind of intriguing. Why is there no bracha on Sipur Yetzir Mitzrayim? So those who want to investigate that, that would be like a great thing to give a pre-Pesach chabur on. Why don't we make a bracha? So Yoni's right. It's really intriguing. The question is it a good application? He is right that we don't make bracha on interpersonal mitzvot. It's very fascinating theory, Yoni. Should I view Sipur Yetzir Mitzrayim as an interpersonal mitzvah or not? That is quite fascinating. What?
No, that's a separate mitzvah.
Okay, what's leiting Sipur and Zechira as a time for another? That's another shirkoli. We're hitting a lot of shirkoli here. Okay, guys, this is an excellent day. Just a very brief summary. Okay, if, guys, this would be good for our Torah. You can tell all that over. Actually, you're not going to be at your family tables. You can send it by Zoom. Okay, here we go, guys. Why does Sephardim only make two grub per pick offense? Yes, correct, Avi, because it makes sense. Because why in the world should you make four? Okay, if we go with the first approach, which I didn't really have a chance to explore, why do Ashkenazim make four? They think it's a hefsek. Okay, then we'll have to define the hefsek because we didn't get a chance to. You guys can look at the sources. Okay, or what can you go with the Yom Shel Shlomo? Very exciting chiddush. It is not because of hefsek, but it is recognizing the significance of each kos. And I wanted to say it's even viewing the Brei Pergavon as a birkat on mitzvah. Very briefly, guys, three halachic advantages and the no memun question. What are the three halachic advantages? A, that's why the Brei Pergavon for Karpas could cover maror. That's why Ashkenazim don't need a bracha achrona after kos one. And that's also why, if you think in terms of dini hefsek, it shouldn't be a hefsek, we don't care. I think that's pretty strong advantages. That's a lot of advantages to the Yom Shel Shlomo approach. If no one points out correctly, it's still intriguing why we have this unusual move, right? We do not see the Rabbanim doing this in other contexts, to use the Ber Pergavon to acknowledge the mitzvah and Berka mitzvah, as opposed to just the standard formulation. All right, everybody have a great job. Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha.